Hi there, and welcome along to this racing podcast. It's Monday, the 5th of July, the month getting well underway, which means we've got some great racing to look forward to this week on Newmarket's July course. I'm Maddie Playell, and this week I'm joined by Graham Rodway and Tom Collins. We've got some tips to power on this week's show. We're going to talk about the Coral Eclipse that was on Saturday, as well as the other highlight races at Sandown Park on ITV. There was some drama in one of the earlier races. We'll touch upon that as well. And also at Haydock, we had the Lancashire Oaks and the Old Newton Cup as well. So all of that coming up in the next 40 minutes or so on this racing podcast. Let's get underway and let's start with the big event of the weekend. Just the four runners in the Coral Eclipse. The winner was Mark's Basilica. He beat a Dave Mishriff and El Drama. An interesting market move for this horse. Clearly there was some confidence behind him. What did we learn from this renewal, Tom?
I thought we learned plenty. Interesting you noted the market support there. Ballydoyle don't really get it wrong when they put their money down, do they? They know when they've got the right horse in a race. As I said, I thought we learned plenty. It wasn't really a true test for a Group 1. The time was slower than both of the following handicaps run over the mile 2 furlong trip. But then again, there were only four runners and no real front runner in the Eclipse. Firstly, I think we learned that Sir Mark's Basilica is a very good horse. I have doubted him in the past. I think giving the ground is crucial to him, but nevertheless, he's got a real good turn of foot, hasn't he? Ryan Moore was surprised by how well he quickened up, and he managed to pass two really good older horses who got the jump on him. Secondly, I think we learned that Adabe and Mishriff probably weren't at their best. Mishriff pulled a bit too hard early on. He seemed to blow up in the closing stages as well. He went past Adabe, and then Adabe re-rallied to get second. Thirdly, and most importantly, I think the weight for age allowance needs to be reviewed, because these three-year-olds are just getting too much weight. What was it, £10 Smart Basilica was getting? At this time of year, I don't think he needs to get that much of an allowance. Maybe that needs to be reviewed, maybe just £5 or £6. And then I also think that finally, Ballydoyle rarely miss a chance in terms of breeding and buying. We already know they're breeding, power with all of that, with Galileo and whatnot, with all their sires and mares. St. Mark's Basilica was a purchase. I didn't even realise this until the other day. Probably should have looked beforehand. But he cost them $1.3 million as a yearling. He clearly wasn't cheap, but he's really repaid that whopping price tag already. He's already lived up to the billing. He's sure to make him a load more money during his racing career and definitely in the stud career. He's by Cabaret, who's a dam of Magna Graecia. And Envy Magna, who goes and buys their horses, obviously likes these bloodlines. Magna Graecia produced with Group 1 victory in 2018, 2019. They go and buy his half-brother, St. Mark's Basilica, and reaping the rewards.
Indeed, and by Siuni St. Mark's Basilica, so it's a different sort of bloodline that we're used to seeing for Ballydoyle slightly. If you're interested in him for another race, then the Judmont International could be the one. He's a best price 7-4 with that. Mishriff as big as 8. And then we have Adabe even bigger at around 12-1, but he could step up in trip for the King George next. But back to the winner, G-Rod, do you think that a sound surface is key to him? And equally, do you think 10 furlongs is his best trip?
Yeah, he certainly looks like 10 furlongs. I'm not sure he'd get any further than that, Maddie. I think that he's got a good turn of foot, hasn't he? A very nice way of going about things. I thought that he sort of bounded clear, like a happy horse, didn't he? Just sort of bounded away up the running there. It was very impressive. I don't think we saw a Mishriff or Adabe anywhere near their best, though. Without doubt, Mishriff pulled quite hard, and he usually finishes off his races very strongly when he's in good form. I think he traded at quite a short price in running because people just thought, well, he's going to storm home like he always does. And in fact, he actually did the opposite. As Tom said, he went past Adabe and then ended up finishing behind him, which suggests that he either pulled his chance away or he wasn't quite at his peak fitness. Adabe, I don't think, was at his peak fitness either. I think that he ran a very, very eye-catching race, again probably blowing up and then running on, and is a horse who obviously is going to be suited by really a lot of cutting the ground towards the end of the year. No doubt the Champion Stakes again will be his big target. I thought that really it was a case of just the best horse on the day winning, really. And I'm not 100% that it's all it's cracked up to be. But a few people have said that already about St Mark's Basilica this year, and he just keeps proving everyone wrong. So maybe he'll continue to do so.
Yeah, TC touched upon it. What a great stallion prospect he is, being by Siuni. He's also a Dewhurst winner, let's not forget, at two. So that's very valuable to have on his resume. Let's go back to this age allowance. Do you think he would have won off level weights here, TC? I know it's hard to say, but how impressed were you in that respect?
Yeah, well, I spoke to Enzo about this actually on Saturday night. Enzo was in the RP Live studio with G-Rod, so I'm sure they probably spoke about it as well then. He was getting £10, wasn't he? And he won decisively. I think he probably would have won anyway, off level weights. Now, obviously, it's a guess. It's your own opinion, because we don't know for sure. But he won so well that I don't think £10 would have made that much difference. I think the main point here is just that they don't need that much weight allowance. Like, these three-year-olds are in peak physical condition, you know. At this time of year, they don't need £10 from their older horses. I think it's a massive advantage for three-year-olds, much like it is for fillies in these classics, three-year-old fillies, especially in like the Arc or whatnot. I think it all needs to be reviewed, weight for age and sex allowance. But there you go. The best horse won anyway.
Okay. And do you think that he'll be the horse to beat in all the big 10 furlong events? Or do you think a Dave Mishriff or even something else is going to make him work hard? What do you reckon going forward for this horse the future looks like?
He's a really good horse, I think. I have doubted him. I doubted him before, basically every start before this run. I didn't think his French form was that much cop. I didn't think he beat anything in behind. He looked a bit of a soft ground merchant to me beforehand. I know there was given the ground this weekend, but it wasn't that testing out there. And he produced the goods on quicker conditions. So I'm rating him a lot highly now than I was, say, this time last week. I think he's going to go forward into the Jubmont and future conquests as being basically the favourite in every race. Probably rightly so. I won't be backing him unless, you know, he's going to be a good price, purely because there's going to be value elsewhere. But I wouldn't be surprised if he goes and wins, you know, the Jubmont, etc.
Okay, G-Rod, knowing you and knowing your punting approach, you'll be taking him on, is that right?
Yeah, I think that I've always been against him, really, because he didn't run in the Guineas. And I think that Aidan O'Brien and the Coolmore team usually, as we've already said, know when they've got a good one, and they don't usually run them in France. They usually run in the English Guineas and then the Derby or the Irish Guineas, one or the other.
I think he had a setback, though, didn't he? So is that maybe a fair excuse?
Well, fair enough. Yeah, maybe that is the case. But they obviously rate him now, don't they? But I just do wonder, at the start of the season, when they were doing, you know, all their calculations in Balladoyle, where he stood in the pecking order with regards to horses like Wembley and some of the others that they've got. I just felt like at the start of the season, he wasn't that high up in the pecking order at Balladoyle. Of course, I could be wrong. It's all speculation. But I got the feeling that at the start of the season, he wasn't one of their best. And obviously now, the way they punted him on Saturday, he must be showing them a bit more than he was then. So maybe he is improving as racing goes on. And we have seen a lot of Aidan O'Brien horses do that in the past, haven't we? You know, Peeping Fawn and horses like that just get better and better and better as they get older. I still think he's got a little bit to prove, Maddie, because, like I say, I don't think Adabe and Mishriff were at their best, but we will see.
We will see. Nevertheless, it was a fantastic weekend for Aidan O'Brien. He won the Group 1 Coral Eclipse, and then on Sunday in the Grand Prix de Saint-Cloud, he won with Broom. This horse, who's been very busy this season, second at Royal Ascot behind Wonderful Tonight in the Hardwick Stakes when we last saw him, and dictated here under Colin Keane. I thought it was a magical ride, and he really capitalised on this horse's staying power. How do you see him figuring in the best races to come this season, TC?
He's a good horse, isn't he, Broom? He needs things to go his own way, though. He seems a galloper. As we saw at Ascot, he was staying on well in the closing stages, but he just wasn't ridden aggressively enough to challenge Wonderful Tonight, who had a better turn of foot. Really good ride by Colin Keane, as you mentioned, that song Clue. I didn't even catch the race live because I think I was watching Athletics or something, having a bit of downtime on Sunday, but I saw the replay. Colin Keane was aggressive from the start. He keeps finding for pressure, Broom. I would be surprised if they didn't go from the front in all of his subsequent races this year. He's clearly raced his best when he goes from the front and kicks and dictates. And he's not a horse I think will back run many horses in this division. But if he can go early, I don't think many horses will back run him. So he's going to be there or thereabouts, much like we've seen in his CV this year. You know, he's recorded 4 victories in 2 seconds from 6 starts. So he's a very consistent horse over this trip. He's a typical Aidan O'Brien flag bearer, older horse. He's better than the likes of Japan and Armory. I don't really like those two. Broom always produces. So he's a good horse and one I'll be keeping an eye on, if not backing, for the following races this year.
Okay, let's go back to Sandown and review some of the ITV races. Let's start off with the 150, which was the Coral Charge. It was won by It Came From The Dark, and quite a tactical, messy race this. Certainly, if you were on Keep Busy like I was, you were cursing your luck up the straight. But this horse has been really progressive for Ed Walker. Missed Royal Ascot, but showed no ill effects of that here. The King George at Goodwood was mentioned as a possible next target. G-Rod, how does he rank in a pretty poor division, I think it's fair to say?
He's improving, isn't he? Came From The Dark. He last season, he was a decent handicapper and he always sort of threatened to win races. And you thought, is he a disappointing type of horse? But he is now finally starting to fulfil his potential. So I don't want to write him off too quickly. Of course, though, Arecibo has managed to get within the neck of him, and I don't think that Arecibo is anything special. And Happy Romance was third, only a neck behind, so they're all bunched up there. However, yeah, his form is solid this year, isn't he? He's a solid sprinter. He isn't anything special, but there isn't anything special out there, bar Batash, of course. So we will have to wait and see what comes from him. He might pick up, well, a group two, maybe even a group one, who knows?
I think that's maybe a bit harsh on Arecibo. I mean, second in a King's Stand, and he's really turned the corner since he joined Robert Cowell for 2 wins and 2 seconds. The last 2 seconds, as I say, at Ascot and then at Sandown on the weekend. But as I say, I can understand your argument that it's not a really strong division. TC, any thoughts on Came For The Dark going forward?
Yeah, I really like Came From The Dark as a horse. I thought he deserved that victory. I was with him beforehand, put him up on the podcast on Friday. I thought it was so unlucky in the Palace House at Newmarket on his previous start when he finished second to Lazuli, who got the jump. William Buick outrode Holly Doyle that day, as I mentioned in the podcast on Friday. Tom Markand, brilliant. He's just, what a rider. I think he's the best rider in Britain at the moment on the flat. He produced an A-plus ride on Came From The Dark. Markan said afterwards that I didn't know beforehand, thought was very insightful, that Came From The Dark doesn't respond well to the whip, which for a sprinter, I mean, is not a good thing because you need these horses to quicken as quick as possible. And Came From The Dark can just do it but on his own will and doesn't like any encouragement. It was a great ride to get him on top without using the riding crop. He clearly possesses plenty of talent. I don't think he's going to beat Batash in the King George. Batash obviously going for a 5-timer in that race at Goodwood, but he's a very good sprinter nonetheless.
Okay, and I know you're keen to talk about the first race at Sandown, which was the scene of much drama, also on the 5 furlong course in the middle of the track. Phoenix Star, originally called the winner in a photo with Hurricane Ivor, and subsequently there was a dead heat that was put down to faulty equipment to do with the mirror in the photo finish. So even if Hurricane Ivor's head was in front, as a lot of people thought it was, they couldn't record that result that way. This isn't the first for Sandown and photo finish issues. This is another error in sort of a big catalogue. How frustrated does it make you as a racing fan, TC?
Well, there are many bad things that happened in this race. I'm just glad they got came from the dark as the winner in the following sprint. But firstly, it was obvious that Hurricane Ivor won the race, right? I mean, even to the eye. I know the camera angle isn't ideal on that 5 furlong course at Sandown, but it was obvious he had his head down on the line. Secondly, they saw the print. And then I don't know how they called the 10 Phoenix Star the winner, because clearly he was behind Hurricane Ivor. Thirdly, check your camera equipment. Like, before the first race of a huge day, arguably the biggest day of Sandown's flat season, you've got to check your equipment's in the right place. They blame the mirror. I mean, come on, like, make sure it's all good. Fourthly, why are you calling it a dead heat? Like, how can that be a dead heat? You can't call the wrong result and then, instead of giving the right result, give another wrong result. Like, you might as well have called Lihu the winner. It's ridiculous. The bookmakers had to pay out twice. It was just a big shambles. It basically overshadowed all the races on the card. Everyone was talking about the poor judging decision. I think in this day and age, you've got to be able to fix that and call the right horse. I mean, that's all we require. We need to know who the winner is. So yeah, we need to get that right, especially at Sandown, because it keeps happening there.
Yeah, whether that's the jumps or the flat, there was a similar incident in a similar race to this not so long ago. Who does the blame sit with, do you think? Race Tech or Sandown themselves?
You know, I don't know enough to give blame to someone. I don't want to give blame incorrectly. All I know is that a decision should have been made, and it should have been the right decision. We can't call the wrong horse, and then you can't try and amend it by calling a dead heat, which it clearly wasn't. Two wrongs don't make a right, as everyone was saying on social media. And it just, you know, it paints the sport in a bad light. So we need to get it fixed. Whoever it was that made the bad decision. Also, right, one other point. In the photo, we saw it live on the telly on ITV Racing, right? They said that you can't use the reflection. Like, I don't understand why that's a thing. Like, how can we not use the reflection? The mirror was, they said, in the wrong place. But if you look at the reflection, it looks exactly like the opposite, which it should, of the main camera. And it told you that Hurricane Ivor won the race. I don't know. I don't know who the blame lies with, but they need to fix it.
A messy affair all around, G-Rod. And I'm sure you've seen similar instances throughout your time in racing. What's your view on it?
Yeah, absolute embarrassment, Maddie, isn't it? I can't believe that you could possibly call one horse the winner if the equipment's wrong. And then how you come to get in a dead heat, I don't know. It's just a mess and it is disappointing. It's not the first time at Sandown, is it? Because I think a couple of years ago, they called one race at the wrong winning post up the straight over jumps, which obviously is a complete mess up as well. And we are in 2021. It is not that difficult. Surely we can get this sort of basic stuff right. Just get it right before we call it. And it's simple, isn't it? Then no mistakes can be made. What's the rush? Nobody gets paid out before the weigh-in anyway.
Perhaps there needs to be more of a process and more people checking than the judge, maybe. What do you think?
It sounds like we have more people checking our results at Racing Post than we do the judge actually checking them themselves, which is absolutely ludicrous, doesn't it? Yeah, I mean, why not? Why not make it two or three processes to get it right? It's more important to get it right than to get it out quickly, as far as I'm concerned.
I'm sure a lot of people would agree. But moving on to the racing on track, and all the other races went seamlessly in that regard. Let's talk about the Coral Challenge then. It was one, I would argue, in pretty dominant style by Magical Morning. They said that the Royal Hunt Cup had been the aim beforehand. Just eighth there, a good run, but took his form to a new level here, G-Rod.
Yeah, that pesky Frankie, wasn't it? Because I backed May Danny, and he just sort of used May Danny as a target all the way up the straight. And I always felt he was just going to come by me near the line. And that was exactly what he did. It was a typical Frankie, cool, calm, collected ride. And I thought the Magical Morning won with quite a little bit in hand. And before the race, there seemed to be a little bit of confidence behind him as well from the yard, almost as though they thought he was well handicapped off a mark of 99. And so it proved. It'd be very interesting to see where he goes now, Maddie, won't it? I just wonder if that race at Good Glorious Goodwood is the mile
Golden
race.
Mile.
Yeah, I wonder if that might be the ideal race for him, if he could get a good draw around there on the Friday, because he certainly travelled nicely through that race and is going to be contesting some big mile handicaps coming up, isn't he?
He sure is. That is the race that John Gosden mentioned afterwards. And with a strong pace at Goodwood, you could see him coming home late, couldn't you? Perhaps even stepping back up and trying 10 furlongs again at some point. But I certainly don't think this is the last we'll see of the brilliantly bred Magical Morning. Let's go to the Coral Distaff now. And it was won, again, in pretty comfortable style by Aurea, a filly who's always been highly regarded by connections, and this listed race went her way. Statement was the 7-4 favourite. She was very disappointing in behind TC, as well as a couple of the Judmont fillies. Perhaps on form this doesn't look the strongest, but this filly, she's clearly improving.
Yeah, she definitely is. Just before I touch on the Distaff, I just want to go back to that May Danny performance in second, by the way, just quickly to make G-Rod feel worse about his punt. Dane O'Neill put up £3 overweight on May Danny, which, in my opinion, cost him the race. You don't see it too often that jockeys put up that much overweight in this country. So I thought he'd be interesting going forward to Glorious Goodwood for the mile race. He won there last year. Talking about the Distaff, yes, Aurea is a very improving sorts in her five runs. I thought it was just another great ride, this time by Sheen Murphy. Spoke about Tom Marcand earlier. Sheen Murphy's at the top of his game as well. He walked the dog up in front. barely went any gallop. She had plenty left in the tank for a finishing effort. And, you know, she was never in trouble. She just kicked and nothing could ever get to her. She was a real eye catcher on a season where her appearance behind Creative Flair as well, the Godolphin owned filly, and built on her promise here. I backed her in the run in between Sod's Law, of course. She finished fourth. I think giving the ground's quite crucial for her as well. But she has the potential to strike at higher levels. I put up Seattle Rock in the race at a price. I thought she ran a really good race. And I actually believe she was going to get there at one stage. She was really wayward under pressure. I don't know whether she's still green. She's had plenty of starts. She competed at the highest level at two. I know she was only a novice winner last time out, but yeah, she was really wayward. She reminded me a bit of Pile Driver with the route she took in the straight, but she finished really well. I wouldn't give up on her if she runs in a straight line next time. She'll always go off a decent price because of connections, but Oreo was a standout winner that day.
Yeah, with Seattle Rock, maybe it's the Monjeur in her. She's always been a bit quirky, hasn't she? But perhaps those pair could face each other again in the Atalanta Stakes over the same course and distance. That's what Andrew Boulding suggested anyway. Now, we're going to take a quick breather, but we've got some really top handicap performances to dissect. And we're also going to give you some horses for your notebook. Don't go anywhere.
Racing Post Members Club is the only subscription that includes access to the Racing Post digital newspaper every day from 9 p.m. plus exclusive premium content, including expert tips, analysis, form study tools, and more. As a listener of the Postcast, you can enter the code POSTCAST21, that's POSTCAST21, to get 50% off your first 3 months.
Over to Haydock now then, and ITV covered some fantastic racing there, cards sponsored largely by Bet365. Now, two good handicaps, the Bet365 handicap and, of course, the Bet365 Old Newton Cup. They were won by Tashkan and Alunak. Who were you most impressed by out of the pair, G-Rod?
Yeah, Tashkan for me. I know that he did come up the stand side and he was really the first one to do it. But I think that was quite a good staying race, you know, Maddie. A three-year-old, a lot likely race three-year-olds in it. They won a good pace. The finishing speed was quite good. Which is always a good sign. And Tashkan was well supported in the market, wasn't he? Of course, the big talking point was Dushan didn't go in, did he? The hot favourite lost, I think, both front shoes or a front shoe and didn't end up lining up. So if you were on the favourite, that was a bit of a disappointment. But Tashkan was second favourite and he did do the business quite well. Summer's Night, the runner-up, travelled beautifully through the race, travelled like the best horse in the race, I thought. And I just then thought, felt like he got bogged down in the really testing ground for Mark Prescott. He's a really improving young stayer and he'll be very, very good on better ground. Again, possibly one for one of the staying races at Glorious Goodwood Summer's Night for Sir Mark Prescott. It's definitely form to be positive about that 1/6 furlong handicap won by Tashkan.
Yeah, smart horse. Used to be trained by Emmett Mullins, now with Brian Ellison. Maybe the Melrose over 2 miles could be next for him, but soft ground, I think, is crucial to wherever he goes next. I don't think many handled the ground in the Old Newton Cup won by Alunak. The winner certainly did, formerly trained in Germany, so he was used to these conditions. A first win for Andrew Boulding. He still won off a mark of 102, though. That's a fair effort, Tom.
Yeah, it was a fair effort and he moved through the race really nicely, Alunak. But much like you, I don't think it's rock solid form. I think plenty had viable excuses, mainly the ground. Longsider hated it, absolutely detested that soft ground. They were leaving a real big print at Haydock, weren't they? As they always do, it seems. Haydock don't have a meeting when it doesn't rain. And Longsider just went out like a light early in the straight. Hated the ground. Will be much better on quick conditions. That was his first start on turf. So don't look too much into that. I still fancy him for the Ebor if he runs there, personally. Dark Jedi took plenty of money as well. He was the morning gamble. He bounced from his recent effort, didn't produce. Brilliant Light lost a shoe. Pablo Escobar went too fast early in those testing conditions. Take absolutely nothing away from Alunak. I mean, he won pretty cosily in the end. He achieved an RPR. Of 115, his joint career best, along with when he finished second in the Hardwick last year. I wouldn't back him to confirm the form with some of those in behind, though, if the ground got a bit quicker. So I'd be looking at that race. And, in fact, the 1/6 furlong handicap earlier on the card, which G-Rod says was a good race. I think it was a good race too, but I thought both Mark Johnson horses hated the ground, Kondo Asami and Harlem Soul. And I wouldn't be surprised if they bounce back in typical Mark Johnson fashion next time out.
Okay, perhaps that could be at Glorious Goodwood, a track that that trainer excels at traditionally. Now, the two races that we talked about, sandwiching them was the Lancashire Oaks. It was won by Alpinista. To Tom, you were very keen on her beforehand, and she sort of does what she says on the tin, doesn't she? She's a strong stayer, and you know you're going to get a run for your money with her. She's building a really nice profile.
Precisely that. She was a clear standout on form and on official ratings. I can't believe she was 11-4. I thought that was extremely generous. Obviously, she had slight ground doubts because she'd never run on anything that testing. All of her good form came on good to firm or good ground. But she always runs her race. Kirsten Rousing has another proper stare on her hands, as she always seems to. And I think the Lily Langtree is probably going to be the ideal spot for Alpinista, given she's already won at Goodwood this year when she wasn't 100% fit. In behind, I thought Lady Hayes ran a screamer at huge odds to finish second. She's very unexposed. She represents Roger Varian, whose horses rarely go off at double-figure prices, let alone whatever price she was, 22-1 or something. They were actually going to go to the US with her, her connections. Her owner has plenty of runners over in the States. I'm not surprised that George Bolton and Roger Varian decided to stick to the UK races, given her want for soft ground. She won't get anything like that in the States. But I thought she ran a really nice race, Lady Hayes. I wouldn't be giving up on her. But Alpinista was the standout beforehand, proved it in the race.
Yeah, they mentioned the Lily Langtree, as you say, in the Yorkshire Oaks as possible next targets. I must admit, when I saw this race, I thought the Prix de Royaleur, the 1 mile 6 race at Longchamp, would be a perfect fit for this filly, particularly given she's now showed she handles soft ground. I think Wonderful Tonight won the race last year. I'd be looking at something like that for her down the line if she proves up to it. G-Rod, anything to add on this progressive grey filly?
She was very, very tough and game, I thought, in this race, because she was raced up with the pace, and the front three, I think, in the market were some of those who were cutting out the pace. And I just thought they were going at a you know, good enough pace. Mystery Angel, and was it Dubai Fountain, I think, was up there as well. And she really kept on when the others floundered in the straight. So I think she deserved maybe a little bit extra credit for that. It's hard to gauge with the times when it gets like that, hey, Doc, because, of course, the ground cuts up. So as the ground cuts up, it's quite difficult to even rate races in comparison with the previous ones, because if you're on the fresher ground, you tend to run better times. But I think she's a good filly, Alpinista. It was almost a really good day for Sir Mark Prescott, wasn't it? Because, of course, he did have Summer's Night finish second, but we'll see.
Indeed. Now let's get some notebook horses. I'm going to go first. I'm going to sneak in there because a horse really caught my eye at Limerick on Sunday, Mazagran, now trained by Joseph O'Brien, formerly raced in the Middle East. But I urge you to log on to Racing Post and check out this horse's win in the 3:20 at Limerick. As I say, super impressive. And I'd imagine he'll be winning decent races before long. Any horses you want to highlight, Tom?
Well, I didn't manage to catch many of the races on Saturday, actually. I was apart from the ITV ones that we've covered, purely because I was driving to the Sky Studios in West London. On Friday, there were a couple of horses that interested me. I thought Sonny Liston in that 7 furlong novice race at Sandown was really impressive for Charlie Hills, won by 5.5 lengths. Beat a useful horse by the looks of it in Dukedom, who Jonathan Thady Gosden clearly reckon is quite good given the money. 5-2 into 5-6 favourite, owned by the Queen. A son of Dubawi as well. So I thought Sonny Liston was really impressive. Don't give up on Dukedom either. Wasn't given the best ride by Frankie. And at Haydock, Mushawa in the 1 mile 4 novice event. I was at Kempton last time. I put Mushawa up as my lead 3-point tip, a max tip for me in the paper. He was even money. And I was thinking, Christ, I don't want to be putting up an odds on shot. Actually went off at 1-4, which was a bit embarrassing at the end. And he nearly lost. I thought, oh God, I've really made a bit of a pig's ear of this. Although he has won, you'd expect him to win by a streak. Well, he came out at Doncaster on Friday and proved that he's a decent horse. He bolted up over 1 mile 4 furlongs. Step up and trip helped him. Roger Varon's got another useful middle distance prospect. Another son of Frankel, who's having a great season as a sire. I wouldn't be giving up on Mushawa for group races. Sorry, that's my US, the US influence. Group races moving forward. I think he's a really nice horse.
He needs to sort that out, doesn't he, G-Rod? Terrible. Terrible. He needs to get with the lingo.
Too many US references there, definitely. Now, the one that caught my eye was a Rhythmic Intent at Sandown. I thought that he ran a very eye-catching race for Stuart Williams, and previously been absolutely tailed off 136 lengths behind Illarab. at York. But Connections gave him a 52-day break and obviously found something that went wrong at York, because he was much better at Sandown, and he went through the race quite well. Looked like he was going to drop away and finish well beaten, and then stayed on again powerfully to really threaten the winner near the line. But in the end, Makram held him quite comfortably. Now, all of his form, Rhythmic Intent, is over further. In fact, he's won over a mile and 5.5 furlongs, and it was only a mile and a quarter at Sandown, and he certainly ran like he'd be well suited by a return to further. And I think he showed that he's back on a nice mark there. So he's certainly one for my tracker, Rhythmic Intent.
I tell you what, Tom can vouch for this. He's been in my tracker since, I think, the first time he raced. And as you say, he can throw in an absolute sickener of a run for seemingly absolutely no reason. But he's a blooming good horse when he puts it all together, Rhythmic Intent, one that I have a bit of a love-hate relationship with. But anywho, you're right on that front. It was a really good run, wasn't it? Now, we're going to get some tips for you now. The July Festival starts on Thursday. We've got the likes of the Falmouth Stakes and, of course, the July Cup, but plenty of interesting handicaps before then. Let's see what the lads fancy.
Head to racingpost.com, click on subscribe and choose Get Ultimate Monthly to get started. That's code POSTCAST21.
Welcome back. Now it's time to look forward. And first off, let's talk about some of the Group 1s coming up this week. G-Rod, who have you got your eye on?
Very much looking forward to seeing Hookham run. I always get some stick for how I pronounce this horse, but I'm convinced it's Hookham.
And I think that sounds about right.
Yeah, well, Bruce hates it. He thinks it's Hookham.
Hookham. It sounds a bit nicer than Hookham, though, doesn't it? Hookham. Can't like it.
Hookham, like a hookah lounge, you know? Not that I've ever been to one, but when I go past them, I always think, they look nice. Hookham is running in, well, he's entered in the Prince of, I always get this one called a Prince of Wales's Stakes. It's Princess of Wales's Stakes. Yeah, not the Prince of Wales. That's in Royal Ascot, isn't it? Princess of Wales's. And Al Arzy's in the same race for Hamden Alnack Tomb, which is throwing a real sort of spanner into the works, because Jim Crowley, as it stands, is booked to ride Al Arzy, and Dane O'Neill booked to ride Hookham. And I tell you, Jim Crowley doesn't get it wrong too often. So if he thinks that Al Arzy's better than Hookham, then Al Arzy must be a prop horse. But nevertheless, I'm going to stick with Hookham simply because I think that race at Ascot was a very strong race. Wonderful tonight. Very impressive when winning the Hardwick. Of course, in second was the aforementioned Broom, who won a Group 1 in France, as we were just saying. And Hookham was third. And those three were well clear of the fourth, Thunderous. And Hookham went through the race very, very nicely, travelled beautifully, struck for home. And I thought, oh, we're going to take a good one to beat him from here. And not only did Wonderful Tonight just blow him away, but Broom ran him down for a second late on. I just think that he bumped into two proper Group 1 horses that day, Wonderful Tonight and Broom. I think, in fact, that Hardwick was a Group 1 race in all but name. And I don't think that he's going to be facing anything of their quality here. For all our hours, he has got, he's well hyped, isn't he? He's got a very, very tall reputation. It was very disappointing, I thought, that he couldn't brush aside Pile Driver last time out at Epsom. And I'm going to take a chance on Hookham beating Al Arzy in that Princess of Wales's Stakes on Thursday at Newmarket, 3:35.
Brilliant. We'll get there in the end. It is confusing, isn't it? Very similar names. On the same card, I'm quite interested in the Bahrain Trophy and the Group 3 at 150. It's always a race I quite like. And Mandoob, this has been the plan for him for an awfully long time. And although he's taking on much better opposition for the first time, I'd be interested to see how he gets on also for the Shadwell operation. TC, we've not touched on any of the juvenile races yet. We could see quite a few form lines class in the July Stakes. Any thoughts on that one?
It's a you know what, I've only had a brief look across the races at this moment. I'm currently writing my column for the RFO, Racing Football Outlook. I think Sandrine will win on Thursday. I've just looked at the weather forecast actually for Newmarket. I think today is supposed to be clear, and then every day leading up to the weekend is supposed to be a downpour. So currently good to firm on the July course at Newmarket, but don't expect that to hold. And if the ground does get a bit of testing, then Sandrine will prove too strong for her rivals on Thursday. One other horse at Newmarket, and then two horses at Newbury that I'm interested in. Actually, is Sandrine running on Friday? Could be wrong there.
She is, Friday. The Duchess of Cambridge. That's at 2:25.
Apologies, wrong day. Also on Friday in the Falmouth, I quite like Lady Beaufort. I hope she runs in the race. I know she's a five-year-old, and we're talking about this weight for age thing again, which I mentioned earlier was too much. Well, I'm going to actually put up a five-year-old against the three-year-olds this time. Lady Beaufort has to give the likes of Alcohol Free, Snow Lantern, Primo Baccio £9. I presume they're all going to run in the Falmouth. And if they do, then Lady Beaufort's got to work out, you know, because they're three very good horses. Snow Lantern's a horse that a filly that I really like as well. But she's having another quick start after Royal Ascot. I don't know if that will be good for her. I really like Lady Beaufort. I think she's a real nice horse. This season, she's proved her capabilities at Group 1 level. She finished second to Palace Pier in the lock-ins, which was a star performance. RPR of 119 that day. Really good run. Last time out at Ascot, raced down the middle of the track. Clearly didn't help. He needed to be stand side in that Duke of Cambridge. In the Angel, produced a career best, coming against the near side rail. If they both raced towards the rail, Lady Beaufort would have won that day. I think she's got a good chance in the Falmouth. And then two at Newbury on Thursday. My Napa, my next best in my column. Bit of a spoiler there if you don't fancy getting the RFO this week. The Nap is going to be Dubai Sands. I think he'll go off a nice price in the 720. It's a mile and two furlong handicap. Dubai Sands last time out ran in the London Gold Cup. Piece of form I keep raving about. I love Bay Bridge, who won that race for Sir Michael Stout. He's a real good horse. Can't wait for him to come out next time. Suffered a setback, so he missed Royal Ascot. Dubai Sands finished 9th of 10 that day. Didn't produce the goods, beaten 24 lengths. Came in after, I was quite disappointed. Came in after, and Roger Varian said that he just didn't handle the ground. It was good to soft. He needs quicker conditions. So I'm hoping the rain stays away from Newbury, because if it does, he has a great chance off a mark of 86. I think he's very leniently treated off that rating based on his novice victory at Ripon. And one other in the following novice race at 7:50, Poet of Life, given a stinker of a ride on debut. I'm happy to use that word. It was a stinker by Martin Harley. He would have won that race with any kind of clear run. Beaten by Betty Crean, LA, trained by David Moinizier. It was a good race. I think if Poet of Life, the son of Frankel, gets a clear run this time, he'll make amends.
Okay, the final race we're going to talk about today is on Super Saturday, as they dub it, at the 4:25 of the Darley July Cup. And some interesting horses entered here, given that we're going to see, of course, Rohan in here, supplemented by David Evans, a Royal Ascot winner, against Dragon Symbol, who came very close in that high-profile reversal. But Oxted, I think, is leading the current market, last year's winner, and Starman, another Royal Ascot absentee in there as well. Who do you have coming out on top, G-Rod? I haven't even mentioned the Jersey winner, Creative Force. It looks like it could be quite a strong renewal.
Oh, yeah, what an exciting race this one could be, Maddie. Let's hope that the ground stays decent, and it could be a real cracker. We've got some top class sprinters lining up, proper Group One horses for what is usually the best Group One 6 furlong race of the year, in my opinion. I know that the Diamond Jubilee, of course, has got a high profile, but this is the race where you tend to get the clash of generations, isn't it? Where you get the best 3 year olds running against the best older horses, and we do have that here with Dragon Symbol, Creative Force lining up against Starman, and Oxted, of course, who won the King Stand and won this race last year, didn't he? So he's bidding for back-to-back July Cups, and there haven't been too many who have done that in the past. I think that Dragon Symbol is something special. I think he's very, very good. I don't think the heavy ground suits him that well, and he still probably, in my opinion, should have won the Commonwealth Cup. I think he should have kept it. Controversial, I know, but I think that he was the best horse in that race, and I like to see the best horses win races. And he would be my idea of a winner, particularly if the ground stays on the fast side of good. Obviously, he's got to reverse that form with Rohan, if Rohan does get supplemented. But again, that was on heavy ground. I think if he gets a bit of better ground here, we might see the real Dragon Symbol, a real superstar.
You'll be keeping your eye on the weather forecast then. Tom, who wins it?
You know what? I'm not even going to put forward a selection. I haven't had enough time to study the race just yet. I'm sure I'll put a selection up on Friday in the punt. But it looks a great race. I'm really excited to see Oxted tackle the likes of Dragon Symbol. Starman as well, who we didn't get to see at Ascot. So I'm just looking forward to it.
Okay, before we love you and leave you, let's clarify those naps.
This will not be beaten.
Tom, take it away. I think you've already mentioned, but let's just remind listeners who it is.
Yeah, the nap is going to be on Thursday, Dubawi Sands in the 7:20. I think he's got a real good chance off a nice mark.
Okay, and yourself, G-Rod?
Yeah, mine's also on Thursday, so you could have a little double, couldn't you? Princess of Wales is stakes at Newmarket, 3:35, hook 'em.
Thank you very much, guys. Yeah, have a related double then. Fingers crossed the postcast can bring home the bacon. If that doesn't succeed, then make sure to listen to Bruce and the rest of the gang on Fridays. They'll be giving you some more up-to-date tips for the weekend's action. We'll see you again next week.